GX on Agriculture with Doug Falconer.
Good afternoon and welcome to GX on Agriculture. Doug Falconer sitting in for Rod McDonald today. Coming up on today's program, Manitoba Ag Days has gotten underway in Brandon at the Keystone Center, and farmers will be able to get some free advice on grain marketing. The president of IntelliFarm Incorporated, Brian Voth, will be speaking this afternoon at 3:30 in the FCC Theater. We'll have the details on what he plans to talk about. Meantime, a new study says Canadian Western Agribition in Regina provided a $73 million economic boost to the Saskatchewan economy last year. We'll speak with Agribition CEO Chris Lane. An entrepreneur from South Central Saskatchewan is producing 9 flavors of gourmet mustard and was recently featured on a national TV show. We'll hear from Val Michaud of Gravelberg Mustard, who's been in business since 2011. And if we have time, we'll also hear from Dr. Bryn Weingard, who is talking about self-motivation being a challenge that everyone faces, the drive to be productive, efficient, and a peak performer. She was recently a speaker at CropSphere in Saskatoon. All that and more coming up on today's edition of GX in Agriculture. But first, it's time for the Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather. And that's a presentation of Sean Prahitka, your REMAX Blue Chip Ag Division Specialist, as well as Yorkton, Raymore, and Watrous, New Holland. Looks like we're going to get a bit of a reprieve today.
Yeah, temperatures coming up a bit. We should top out a bit above average. Normal high this time of year, minus 12, will be up to around minus 8. That's a daytime high, south to southwest wind at 10 to 20. So still a bit of a wind chill, but you start to get into these temperatures, the wind chill is just not quite as brutal. You figure at minus 20, minus 25, a wind at 5 or 10 drops the wind chill into the minus 30s. A wind of 10 to 20 at this temperature generally keeps us in the minus teens. So certainly improving conditions. Clear sky tonight, we likely don't drop off at all. If we do, it's a degree or two in the evening. More likely, we're slowly rising overnight, up to around minus 5 by morning. That same south to southwest wind, 10 to 20 through the night. During the day tomorrow, we're going to have a mostly sunny sky. There's a good chance many of us are going to top out just above freezing, the high near 1. With the sun out especially, you can start getting the melting even before the air temperature gets above freezing, and that's because the air temperature measure just above the ground, where it, as far as melting the snow, it's whatever's hitting that snowpack. So the sun working on it should help a little bit for a good portion of the day, at least some very slow melting. A little bit of cloud cover, though, comes in late day. And towards sunset, early evening, a weak disturbance tracks by. There's a little moisture with it, not a lot, but just enough energy with this to take some of that moisture and squeeze out a couple of flurries. I think that's a good possibility for us late afternoon, early evening, and then we clear things back out tomorrow night, minus 8. Of course, having said that, you get a little extra moisture on top of things, especially with temperatures above freezing. You get that melting, and then we go back below freezing overnight. So even though we have a little chance to clear things out back into some potentially slick conditions for Wednesday night. Into the day on Thursday, partly sunny sky. The high should top freezing once again near 2, and even Friday, we'll try it one more time. Partly sunny with a high near 1. The warm air is going to get pushed aside, not necessarily by a strong front producing moisture, but there is going to be a lot of extra cloudiness around into the weekend. Temperatures on Saturday only around minus 6. And into Sunday, a very similar day, likely a few degrees cooler, minus 8. A little better chance for some sunshine, too, on Sunday, though still at least starting out with a good deal of cloud cover. And then we back down a little bit more into the start of next week, back below average for Monday and Tuesday.
That's Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. Temperatures around the region this hour. The Paw is at minus 11 degrees, Swan River minus 12, Dauphin minus 9, Brandon minus 17, Shoal Lake Russell minus 18, Roblin and Regina minus 15. Saskatoon is at minus 11, Hudson Bay Broadview Mooseman minus 10, Indian Head minus 14, Wynyard Wadena Kelvington minus 5. The Yorkton Melville region has a sunny sky, a south-southwest wind at 17 kilometers an hour. 61% is the relative humidity. The temperature is minus 12 degrees. With the wind chill, it feels more like minus 20 degrees. Yesterday, Yorkton reached a high of minus 19 degrees and dropped to a low of minus 30 degrees. There was no precipitation recorded in the 24-hour period ending at midnight last night. The normal high for this date is minus 13, the normal low minus 24. The sun rose in Yorkton at 8:47 this morning, and it will set at 5:12 this afternoon. Extreme temperatures for Manitoba and Saskatchewan yesterday. The Manitoba hotspot was Tadoule Lake at minus 13. The cold spot Thompson, which got down to minus 35. The Saskatchewan hotspot yesterday was Maple Creek at minus 8 degrees. The cold spot Key Lake at minus 38 degrees. That's a look at your agriculture weather. It's now 12:22 on GX on Agriculture, and let's check in once again with Danny Ismond.
1-855-783-30.
Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. Doug Faulkner sitting in for Rod McDonald today. It's now 12:25. Manitoba Ag Days gets underway today at the Keystone Center in Brandon. Farmers will be able to get some free advice on grain marketing. The president of IntelliFarm Incorporated, Brian Voth, will be speaking this afternoon at 3:30 in the FCC Theater.
IntelliFarm is a market analysis and advising company, so we work with farms on markets, market analysis, building a marketing plan with the farm, and then working with the farm throughout the year to carry that out. So we come up with a plan, we make changes as need be based on what's going on in the world, what's going on in our local areas, and we adapt our plan as we need to accommodate those differences. But ultimately, having a plan and sticking to it is what we've really found to be the key when it comes to a solid marketing plan and better returns for the farm. So I've been doing this for just over 10 years. I started off working for a company out of Winnipeg, worked there for 2.5 years. That was really where I got my feet wet. I was a grain buyer for a canola crush plant prior to that. But when it came to the actual analysis side, it's been 10 years, 2.5 with a company out of Winnipeg. I own the franchise at AgriTrend for 6 years, and for the last 2 years, we've been independent and growing on our own.
Voth's presentation at Ag Days is titled, Marketing is a Four-Letter Word.
Marketing is not the job that most farms love to do. Sometimes it's not the job we love to do either, but that's what we're paid to do. And so, you know, there's definitely some four-letter words involved when it comes to marketing, and I think, you know, naturally when I came up with that title, people I figured are going to right away assume a negative connotation towards it, and so I flipped it around and I've picked some other four-letter words, and I'll let people show up to actually find out what they are. But basically, looking at, you know, the different periods over the last 10-15 years of marketing and how there's opportunity in each of these time frames, whether it on the surface looks positive or negative. Marketing is never easy, so hard is definitely a good one for that. But the market is always going to pay for people who do their homework and put the time in and put the effort in to stay on top of it. So that's kind of where this presentation is going, is that there is opportunity regardless of the situation, but it does take discipline, and you got to stay on top of that to make decisions. The market's not going to wait for you, so you have to take those opportunities when they're there, and in some years, that's a very short-lived thing.
Back in the day, prior to the demise of the Canadian Wheat Board, grain marketing was easy.
And that's not to say it was better, but it was easy because there was only one buyer. You didn't have to shop around for freight spreads, protein spreads, putting deals together, things like that. So now, marketing wheat is a whole lot more work, but again, I'll refer to my last statement that the people that put the time in and put the work in are the ones who are going to get paid for it. Everything when it comes to marketing is negotiable, so posted prices are a guideline, and they're always negotiable on, like I said, on spreads, on basis, on proteins, anything like that. So I do think that there's been more opportunity post wheat board, because we don't have to sell our grain in the increments that they want. We can hold on to wheat until later in the crop year if we feel like. We can sell wheat early if that's what makes the most sense. But basically, it gives the most flexibility, I would say, between all the crops on the farm, because we don't have to make up for timing or opportunities or anything like that on wheat by selling other crops because we couldn't haul in or sell any more wheat or anything like that. So I'm leery to say whether it's better or worse, but I do think that the opportunity has presented itself to do a lot better because now you're in charge of your farm and your operation and how you want to market. You're not subject to just what everybody else is going to get.
Voth says some farmers are very good at marketing, but others are not and may want to get professional help.
It seems by nature farmers are production focused, really good at growing a crop, really good at managing that crop, fixing equipment, doing agronomy work and everything. Marketing is one of the things that seems to always fall to the back burner, and there's not an inherent love of marketing like there is of growing a crop. But that being said, there are a lot of farmers out there who are extremely capable and do very well when it comes to marketing. But like I said, that's knowing your strength too. So some farms have zero interest in the marketing, in paying attention to these kind of things. Those are the farms where, it probably makes sense for them to outsource something. What I've always said is that a farm should run itself like a business because that's what it is. And if you look at any successful business around the world, doesn't matter where it is, they focus on the things they're good at and they outsource the things that they're not good at or that they don't like doing or things that aren't worth their time. So we strongly encourage farms to run themselves like that. Look at it like a business because that's what it is. It's a high risk, high capital business and you need to approach it that way. So if you struggle with marketing, there's no shame in finding someone to help you with that. If you're really good at marketing, but you're a really poor agronomist, find an agronomist to come and help you. So I don't know if it's a perception thing or what it is, but when it comes to hiring agronomists or an accountant or anything like that, there's no qualms about it. But marketing is always one of those ones, well, I have to market anyway, so why would I pay someone else to do it? But like I said, I think people's time is far better spent focusing on the things that they're good at and bring someone else in to complement the things that you're not good at.
Finally, I asked Voth about grain marketing prospects in 2018.
The reality is we had an awesome run from 2010 to 2013 when globally grain stocks were being drawn down because of, in 2010, the drought in Russia, 2011, the drought in South America, 2012, the drought in the U.S. We really brought down global stocks in that time frame, and prices reacted accordingly. But since then, since 2013, we've been in a period of rebuilding those global stocks, and as economics would dictate, prices have responded accordingly and come down. So we're to the point now where, margins are relatively tight, which is, in the long run, is actually more average in farming than anything. The margins from 2010 to 2013 were pretty phenomenal for us in Canada. And even now in the last 2 years, the margins have been really good because the yields have been so high. We go back to an average yield situation with today's prices, it's going to look a lot tighter. And that's where I'll say there's always going to be opportunities, but it's a matter of recognizing them and taking them and not, waiting for another 25 cents or another 50 cents. If you can pencil out a profit, and that to me is the key out of any marketing decision. If you can pencil out a profit, you know what your cost of production is, you know what your cash flow needs are, you can never go wrong by pricing at that point. And you don't know how long that opportunity is going to last. Some of these pricing opportunities last for an hour and a half, and then we don't see those prices again. And I'm thinking of a corn example from the summer. We sold corn on July 12th. The deal lasted an hour and 29 minutes, and we have corn prices are about $1 a bushel less than where they are, and they've been that way ever since. So you don't know how long those opportunities are going to last. Some people said, well, I'm going to think about it, and they completely missed out on it. So you have to know your numbers because you can't make an informed decision if you don't.
Brian Voth is president of IntelliFarm Incorporated. He will do a presentation on grain marketing at 3:30 this afternoon at Manitoba Ag Days at the Keystone Center in Brandon.
GX94, AgriView.
The Manitoba government has officially signed a multilateral agreement with the Government of Canada to implement a new five-year agricultural policy called the Canadian Agricultural Partnership. The multilateral agreement is the first step needed to establish the Canadian Agricultural Partnership in Manitoba, ensuring farmers, agri-processors, researchers, and other stakeholders can access related programs and funding. Governments are also currently negotiating a bilateral agreement to ensure Manitoba's priorities, opportunities, and issues are reflected in the partnership's programs. The agreement includes government commitments to continue business risk management programs such as agri-insurance, agri-stability, and agri-invest. In Manitoba, CAP will invest a total of $176 million in strategic programming focused on the sustainability and competitiveness of the agriculture and food sector. The Canadian Agricultural Partnership is a five-year federal-provincial-territorial investment that will come into effect on April 1st of this year. It focuses on six priority areas, including science, research, and innovation, markets and trade, environmental sustainability and climate change, value-added agriculture and agri-food processing, public trust, and risk management. In July of last year, federal, provincial, and territorial agriculture ministers reached agreement in principle on the key elements of the Canadian Agricultural Partnership, a five-year, $3 billion investment that will set a solid foundation for the future of Canada's farmers and food processors and continue to help them grow, innovate, and prosper. Canada's brewers are launching a campaign to address what they call runaway taxes on their industry. The advocacy group Beer Canada says that since 2012, provincial taxes on beer have increased 58% in Quebec, 18% in Ontario, 19% in Manitoba, 24% in Saskatchewan, and 28% in Alberta. Chairman George Croft says an automatic excise duty escalator is due to kick in on April 1st of this year, and he's calling on beer lovers to help the industry get the tax repealed. Beer Canada's campaign comes as a new report from the Conference Board of Canada shows that beer brewed in Canada in 2016 generated $13.6 billion in economic activity and 149,000 jobs. Beer Canada represents large and small brewers who produce roughly 90% of all beer sold in Canada. Firefighters say it took nearly 7 hours to put out a fire that killed a small number of livestock, including a miniature pony, at a barn in the Ottawa area. Todd Horrocks, a sector chief with Ottawa Fire Services, says firefighters were called to the barn at about 5 a.m. yesterday to find it fully engulfed in flames. Horrick says there were about 200 bales of hay in the building that acted as kindling and made the fire much harder to fight. Fire officials say in addition to the pony, three sheep, three lambs, two goats, and a cat died in the fire. Horrick says the barn served as part of a farm school where kids would go to learn about animals and farming. And agriculture and the evolution of food are the themes this week as members of the Agriculture Alliance of New Brunswick gather in Fredericton for their 12th annual conference. The meeting, from tomorrow to Friday, will include a screening of the documentary Food Evolution and a workshop on farm management strategies to improve margins and reduce risk for their operations. New Brunswick Agriculture Minister Andrew Harvey will speak to the conference on Thursday, addressing topics such as the new NB Ag in the Classroom program. An award ceremony is set for Thursday night. And that's a look at the Ag Review portion of our program. It's now 12:38 on GX and Agriculture, and let's head back out to Danny Ismond.
And we're at Kinsman Club of Yorkton, trip of the...
It's coming up on 12:41 on GX and Agriculture. Doug Falconer sitting in for Rod McDonald today. And it's time for the livestock market conditions. They're brought to you by Pattison Agriculture.
You don't need to put your lawn tractor away just because the snow is falling. When you get a John Deere Compact Utility Tractor, you're getting a year-round tractor that can be used to cut your lawn or plow your driveway. Pattison Agriculture has the attachments that eliminate the need to buy different equipment for each season. We offer snow blades, snow plows, and many more attachments that make your winter chores easier to handle. Visit PattisonAg.com to find the location nearest you.
Livestock market conditions.
U.S. live cattle futures for February are trading at 117.77. That's up 40. April live cattle trading at 119.82, up 37. March feeder cattle trading at 143.25, up 60. April feeder cattle trading at 143.55, up 55. February lean hogs trading at 73.77, up 220. April lean hogs trading at 76.12, up 180. And that's the livestock market conditions. A new study says Canadian Western Agribition in Regina provided a $73 million economic boost to the Saskatchewan economy last year. Agribition CEO Chris Lane says the show's economic impact has jumped $17 million since the last study 2 years ago.
We commissioned a new economic impact study for us. It's always good to know how your business is performing, and for Agribition, it's important that we figure out if we are not only successful for ourselves as a nonprofit, but also are we doing the right things for the economy as a whole and giving back where we can. And this latest economic impact study shows that Agribition's addition to the provincial economy is up to $73 million now, and $44.5 million of that is directly in the Regina region alone. So we're really happy with those numbers. Again, we're proud of the success of the show, and we're proud to be contributing to the provincial economy.
How does that compare with the last study done?
Well, it's up significantly, and the last one was only done in 2015, so it really shows that the growth of the show is benefiting the province and the industry as a whole. So over 2015, we are up between $15 and $18 million respectively when you talk about impact to the regional and provincial economy. So those are big gains, and we're happy to see that, and I guess the trick is making sure that we sustain it.
Why do you think those gains happened?
I think what's happened at Agribition is it's become an even bigger marketplace for on the international scene. So we're seeing a bit of a change in the visitors that come. We're seeing more of them. We're seeing the visitors that come spend more money while they're here. And we're also seeing an increase in the kind of business that gets done at Agribition. Livestock is the core of what we do, but we're also seeing, you know, more and more transactions and sales happening for the exhibitors that come to Agribition that maybe aren't in livestock. So, you know, machinery companies and trade show exhibitors like that. So it's all kind of coming together as you know, a tied together business model for Agribition and kind of a premier agricultural marketplace in the world. And I think that's what these economic numbers are showing.
Your study also looked at job creation. How many jobs are created?
Well, throughout the province, Agribition indirectly and directly creates about 1,800 jobs in the province. Now, most of those are condensed into the fall when our need for labor and resources and professional services go up. But that's an important part of the story for us, too, is that I think as Agribition expands and our footprint expands and our ability to do business expands, so too does that need to hire people to help us get it done. And so that's a good part of the story, too.
Your study also looked at out-of-province visitors and their spending habits. What did you find?
Well, we found that out of this year, we rose attendance to about 126,000, a little bit more, and of those, about 53,000 are classified as non-residents. So those are people that come from outside of Saskatchewan that come to Agribition. And what the data says is that those visitors spend about $50 million in total while they're here on everything from restaurants and transportation to shopping and those kind of things. And we even drilled down a little bit further and found out that the visitors that are coming are staying longer and spending more while they're here. So that's all good signs, and I think that's indicative of being able to keep people's attention when they get to Agribition and also moving some of that business out into the Regina region as well.
The study also found the amount that the municipal, provincial, and federal governments get out of agribition.
That's an important number for us, yeah. And, you know, it's we don't get a lot of our operating funds from government funding, but we do have some. And so it's always important for us to be able to show a good return on that investment. So agribition contributes directly $23 million to government bank accounts at kind of all three levels. And that comes through things like taxes on the business that gets done here, fees and surcharges and those kind of things. And, you know, when we look at what agribition is able to contribute directly back to our funding partners in government, you know, the return on that investment is fairly high. That can be as much as 50 to 1. So those are numbers that we're really proud of. And I think, again, shows that agribition is successful. Agribition is successful for everyone. And that's where we want to keep it.
The study will be discussed at the Agribition Annual Meeting to be held in Regina coming up on April 5th. It's now 12:47 on GX and Agriculture, and we'll return in 30 seconds' time. We're back on GX and Agriculture, and an entrepreneur from South Central Saskatchewan is producing 9 flavors of gourmet mustard and was recently featured on a national TV show. Val Michaud of Gravelberg Mustard has been in business since 2011. She buys her mustard from processors in Lethbridge and in Ontario, with the vast majority of the product being grown in Saskatchewan. Then Michaud works with the Saskatchewan Food Center in Saskatoon to make the finished product, which comes in a variety of flavors.
I have a German style, French style, Saskatoon berry, which is a Saskatchewan fruit, cranberry mustard, garlic, jalapeno, and then the new flavors are beer, honey dill, and Cajun. So those are all my gourmet finished product mustards. Now I'm also coming out with a cranberry mustard dressing as well as dry formulations. So there's a dry mustard powder, a dry rub, and dry seed that is already packaged for consumers as well.
So where is the processing done?
So the food center here in Saskatoon is helping me co-pack that product there.
You bring in the mustard and the ingredients, and they do all the work. What advantages are there for you to have it done there in Saskatoon?
Yeah, it's been really great because it's relieved a hat off of my shoulders, which is good because then I can focus on other things because I am still the only person behind my company. So to relieve that, I get all of the ingredients in for them to get ready to produce that. So when I'm ready for a certain flavor, get everything in there, they make it. When they're done, I have finished product waiting for me, and I ship to warehouse, and away we go to the stores.
So what sort of things can you use your products on other than hamburgers and hot dogs?
We can use it as a rub right on your raw meat. You can add it to salad dressings, make your own salad dressings. You can make a barbecue sauce with it. You can add it to salads like macaroni salad, potato salad. You can add it to guacamole. There's just so many different options of using that. You can also make mustard martinis. People are just getting out of their box and just experimenting a little bit more, and that's what's so good about it, right? So I get feedback from other people. Yeah. With that, right? So it's just like, as soon as you did something really outrageous or different with mustard, send it to me. I'm going to post it for you, for sure.
Val Michaud is the owner of Gravelberg Mustard. Michaud was recently featured on the December 8th edition of Dragon's Den on CBC TV.
I would definitely recommend it to any other company that wants to expose their business out there, and it was a great experience. It's the commercial that you were looking for to get exposed across Canada.
Did you see a big jump in inquiries after the program aired?
Yes, definitely. Between either retailers, consumers, and even other interested parties.
And when you walk in the door to a potential customer showing them that video, that probably doesn't hurt either.
Yeah, there's many retailers that want the photograph of myself serving martinis, mustard martinis to the dragons, because, yeah, that's going to boost up their sales as well.
So did you get a deal out of it?
I did. We're still in negotiation right now, but I made a deal with Manjit Minhouse. She offered me $100,000 for 45%.
But it's not a done deal yet, is it?
So you just go back and forth now, right? Uh-huh. That is just TV. So now we get into the nit and grit.
I hear that sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't.
You know, I don't know what the stats are for that, but I know the percentage is about 50% that some of those deals don't go through just because of other issues. But regardless, if it doesn't go through, the exposure that you got from that show is what you want. Yeah. It's your free commercial to use as your advertisement for your company.
So what's ahead for your company in 2018?
Oh, bigger and better. Yeah. New flavors. I've got quite a few still pondering in my mind that just doesn't shut off. But yeah, for sure, new flavors, new market, and just more exposure.
Are you looking to get outside this Western Canadian base you have?
Definitely, and exporting out of Canada as well.
Val Michaud is the owner of Gravelberg Mustard. Her company makes 9 gourmet mustards, which can be found in select retail outlets in Western Canada. It's now 12:52 on GX on Agriculture, and it's time for the Commodities Update. And that's a presentation of Maser Group.
Commodities Update.
Canola futures are trading down in the nearby months this hour. March canola is trading at $489.20, down $1.80. May canola trading at $496.80, down $1.60. March Minneapolis wheat trading at $6.12 and a quarter, down ½ cent. March Kansas City wheat trading at $4.24 per bushel, down $2.25. March Chicago wheat trading at $4.16 per bushel, down $4.50. March corn trading at $3.47 per bushel, up 0.75 cents. March soybeans are trading at $9.66 per bushel, up 5.5 cents. March oats trading at $2.50 and a half, up 1 cent. And that's the commodities update. It's time to check in once again with Danny Ismond.
1-855-783-30.
Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. Doug Falconer sitting in for Rod McDonald today. And, of course, Rod will return tomorrow. Self-motivation is a challenge that everyone faces, the drive to be productive, efficient, and a peak performer. Dr. Bryn Weingard is an expert in brain science and teaches the next generation of business leaders at 2 Ontario universities, Ryerson in Toronto and the University of Guelph. She was a feature speaker at CropSphere in Saskatoon last week. Dr. Weingard says our bodies operate on ultradian rhythms, which cycle every 90 to 120 minutes. Those ultradian rhythms are very important.
Understand that the workday is not a marathon, it's actually a series of sprints. And so what you're trying to do is determine how it is that you can maximize, as opposed to trying to going against your grain, as opposed to trying to talk self-talk and motivate yourself to do work when you're not feeling like doing work. There are ways that you can work with your own ultradian cycle to maximize your productivity when your energy is highest, and then plan to take a break or do other activities when your energy is the lowest, and know that it's not a terminal state, that you're going to ebb and flow all day long. And so if you plan your day like a series of little sprints as opposed to one big marathon, it won't just be easier to manipulate your own energy and to have more energy and to be more motivated and to be more productive throughout your day, but you'll also experience much less stress and anxiety associated with it, and you'll find that your day is that much easier to tackle, and that you are feeling a lot more as though your day and all of the tasks on your list are that much more manageable.
Seeding and harvest are two very busy periods for farmers. Sometimes the plan is to just power through and get the job done.
Yeah, to some extent, some people can power through. I think you'd notice at the end of harvest when people are starting to burn out, that's the challenge with approaching it like it's a marathon every day. And so if you want to maintain your energy throughout the harvest season and, you know, not get sick and not be just totally burned out by the end of it, then planning your day in a series of cycles will actually allow you to be more productive during some parts of your day but less productive in other parts of your day. And part of the way to do that is to assign yourself different tasks throughout that 90 minutes. The research shows that the maximum break you should be taking is actually about 20 minutes maximum, and probably something closer to 15 minutes. Anything over that break is actually starting to demotivate you and serve to shut some systems down so that you don't have that get up and go when you get back to the project. You've actually started to demotivate yourself. And so, you know, little things like that you can certainly take with you even in peak season, even when you're stressed out, even when what you want is to be in your peak performance zone. The best way to do that is to honor the fact that more is not better. There's such a thing as honoring these cycles so that you're just more effective during sprints of time, so you're getting more done and you're actually giving yourself opportunity to take a break. The more rest you give yourself at the right time actually increases your output the rest of the time. So what you're able to do is maintain your production levels, your efficacy, but in very specific time allocations. So if you just try to power through things, even when you're not feeling like it or you're exhausted, you make more mistakes. You circulate a hormone called cortisol, which is the body's stress response, which actually decreases your productivity in the long run over the next few days, and you actually compromise your ability to focus and concentrate. And so it's not better to just power through. It is more important to organize your day, your work day, according to your ultradian cycles, so that you are ultimately that much more effective and you feel that much less stressed about it. So you'll be less stressed and more productive if you honor your ultradian rhythms.
Dr. Bryn Weingard is an expert in brain science. She spoke last week at CropSphere in Saskatoon. It's now 1 o'clock on GX and Agriculture, and it's time to check the GX94 precision weather forecast for the Quill Lakes, Hudson Bay, Swan River, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, and Yorkton, Melville, Roblin, Russell regions today. Mainly sunny, winds south-southwest at 10 to 20, and a high of minus 8 degrees. For tonight, clear, winds south-southwest at 10 to 20, the temperature rising to minus 5. For tomorrow, a mix of sun and cloud with a 40% chance of late-day flurries, winds west-southwest at 15 to 30, a high of plus 1. For Thursday, partly sunny, winds south-southwest at 10 to 20, and a high of plus 2. For Friday, partly sunny, a high of plus 1. Saturday, cloudy, a high of minus 6. In the Paw, it's minus 11 degrees, Swan River minus 12, Dauphin minus 9, Brandon minus 17, Shoal Lake Russell minus 18, Roblin and Regina minus 15, Saskatoon minus 11, Hudson Bay, Broadview, Mooseman minus 10, Indian Head minus 14, Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington minus 5. The Yorkton-Melville region has a sunny sky, a south-southwest wind at 17 kilometers an hour. 61% is the relative humidity. The temperature is minus 12 degrees. With the wind chill, it feels more like minus 20 degrees. That's your agriculture weather, and that'll do it for GX on Agriculture for today. Be sure to tune in again tomorrow at 12:15 for another edition of the program with Rod McDonald. It's time now for the news and sports headlines.
CJGX, a Harvard radio station serving Saskatchewan and Manitoba. We are GX94.